It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR and online at www.wrir.org. I'm your host, Marty Wegbright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
One of the first cases I got involved with involved a resident that the pictures that were shown to me reminded me of photos that I saw of people in concentration camps, that they were just so malnourished, with pressure ulcers through all over his body, just absolutely heartbreaking. And when the neglect reaches that level, it actually can be a crime under Virginia law.
Private attorney Josh Silverman talks about the rights of nursing home patients and residents of assisted living facilities to be treated with dignity and compassion, and how negligent caregivers can be held accountable for their wrongful actions. And during this week's News You Can Use, you'll learn what it's like to eat on $6.30 a day, the current maximum benefit under the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, formerly food stamps. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 223, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM Richmond Independent Radio and online at www.wrir.org, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's News You Can Use. Could you eat for 5 days on $32, just $6.30 a day? Last month, staff members at the Virginia Poverty Law Center, or VPLC, did just that. VPLC has launched a new initiative to fight hunger in the Commonwealth, Virginia Hunger Solutions. One of VPLC's priorities is to raise awareness of the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, also known as the Food Stamp Program. To offer a glimpse of the challenges faced by many who rely on SNAP, VPLC issued the Food Stamp Challenge. During the 5 days from November 4 through 8, participants lived on the maximum benefit of $189 per month, which is $6.30 per day, or $32 for the 5-day period. The Food Stamp Challenge gave participants a view of what life can be like for millions of low-income Americans. Challenge participants found they were forced to make difficult food shopping decisions and realize how difficult it is to avoid hunger, afford nutritious foods, and stay healthy. SNAP is a critical resource for individuals and families in Virginia who continue to face economic struggles. According to data from the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, the program reached 1 in 9 Virginians, or 12% of the state's population, in January 2013. Participants kicked off the inaugural Food Stamp Challenge with shopping trips to area grocery stores and then began the onerous work of making the food stretch. Predictably, peanut butter and pasta were staples for most meals, but neither fully fended off hunger and fatigue. With growling stomachs and a strong urge to nap, participants have shared a few observations from their challenge experiences. Every food decision matters when you're living on a tight budget. Consistent meal planning is key, but it is incredibly time-consuming. Fresh fruits and vegetables are significantly more expensive and therefore less feasible than processed food options. So, maintaining a nutritious diet is quite the chore. Work productivity takes a hit when you haven't had enough to eat. Simple pleasures like eating ice cream, buying coffee, or going out to dinner with friends become virtually unattainable when your budget is severely limited. While the Food Stamp Challenge does not fully capture the hardship endemic to food insecurity, it does provide a unique opportunity for reflection, empathy, and action. VPLC encourages everyone to contact their members of Congress in the coming weeks and urge them to protect and strengthen the food stamp program. With this week's News You Can Use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. We're here at the law office of Josh Silverman on Floyd Avenue, just a block north of Carytown, and we will be speaking with Josh today about the rights of nursing home patients and adult home residents and how to hold their caregivers responsible for negligent care. Welcome to the show, Josh.
Well, thank you for having me.
Would you tell our listeners, first of all, what's the difference between a nursing home and an adult home or assisted living facility?
Well, they're very different. Nursing homes are for people that require nursing care. So that's going to be people who are going to require medication assistance, that are going to require active nurses seeing them on a daily basis. Assisted living facilities are more for people that lack the ability to take care of activities of daily needs, like getting themselves dressed. They need help with that. They need help with their meals. They may need some help with medications, but they do not need to have a nurse seeing them on a daily basis.
So within an adult home, that is an assisted living facility, I gather there are differences between residential living and assisted living. What are those differences?
Sure. Residential living is the most basic of care, and that's going to really be things like having a watchful eye around and maybe providing a little bit of help with things like getting dressed. But those residents are very independent. Assisted living residents are going to need more care. They're going to certainly need assistance with providing their medications. They're going to need to be checked on every so often throughout the day. And even within assisted living facilities, there's a higher level of care that can also be provided, and that's in what they call secured units for cognitively impaired residents. Those are patients that may have Alzheimer's disease or dementia and that are at risk to harming themselves if they were to wander out of the facility. And that's going to be a locked unit.
Who regulates these adult homes, these assisted living facilities, and also who regulates the nursing homes?
Well, they're regulated by different agencies. Nursing homes are regulated by the Virginia Department of Health, while assisted living facilities, and that includes adult homes with the residential level care, that's regulated by the Department of Social Services, the same entity that regulates children's daycare facilities.
So how can you select a safe nursing home in Virginia?
Well, unfortunately, it's not an easy thing to do. And what you've got, one really needs to be extraordinarily diligent. And I'll tell you the way you don't want to do it to start with. The way you don't want to do it is you have a family member who's in the hospital. They need to be discharged. And the hospital social worker says, "I found a bed." They're working hard to find an available bed. It may not be the best bed for your family member. What you need to be doing is several things. Obviously, you want to go in and visit the facility, and you want to look deeper than how nice the dining room looks. You want to actually be getting out and seeing what activities are provided to the residents. How does the facility smell? Do the residents look happy? Next thing you want to do is you want to go online, Google Nursing Home Compare. It's a Medicare website that will actually rank nursing homes on a 5-star scale, with 5 being the best, 1 being the absolute worst. It's impossible to have less than a 1. And you want to go beyond just looking at the 5 stars, because they break it down. And you want to be looking at how the facility has done in different categories. And most importantly, in my mind, is how they've done in past inspections. Have they been sanctioned extensively, and are they the same complaints time and time again? or is this a facility that's got a pretty clean record? Those would be the things I would be looking at.
So you mentioned that an actual visit to the nursing home is absolutely essential in choosing a safe nursing home in Virginia. When you make the visit, what are the key questions to ask when visiting a nursing home, or for that matter, an assisted living facility as well?
Well, questions I would want to ask, is it a for-profit facility or a nonprofit? Generally, I'd prefer to be in a nonprofit facility, meaning that all the revenue is put right back into the facility to help the residents. That doesn't mean that for-profit facilities are bad, but that's one factor to consider. Next, you want to be asking about the staffing ratio. You certainly want a facility that's going to have more nurses, more aides in the facility taking care of residents on a daily basis. Those are very important questions that I would be asking. And then I would also ask to see copies of the menus of what they're feeding the residents. Is that something that your family member's going to like enjoy? And I'd be looking at the activities to see if the activities are the type that your loved one would be appreciating.
Are these nursing homes required to have written policies and procedures? And if so, does the resident or the family members have a right to review them?
Absolutely. Virginia regulations for nursing homes specifically state that a facility must have written policies and procedures, and those are available to the residents and to their loved ones. They will not provide those to you unless you ask for them. So my advice is ask for them, review them, make sure that you're comfortable with those policies and procedures, because that's going to really govern the type of care that's provided.
So what rights do residents have in an adult home, or for that matter also in a nursing home? I assume there are standards that are set by the state.
Yes, and they call them the Nursing Home Bill of Rights or Assisted Living Facility Bill of Rights, and they are required to provide that to you when the resident arrives. It's a long list, but some of the things that are in the list is a resident cannot be required to do work for the facility. You don't have to earn your right to stay there. You've got a right to the policies and procedures that we were just discussing. You've got the right to privacy and to have family members come in and visit, not when the nursing home says they can come and visit, but at your convenience. So it's a long list of things that are all done to ensure the dignity of senior citizens and the impaired that are in these facilities.
So in other words, they have to treat this as the resident or the patient's home and not impose any type of undue restrictions on, for example, the right of guests and visitors to come and go.
Exactly. The days when we thought of these facilities as institutions really needs to be behind us. These are homes. When we're talking about nursing homes, but these are the homes that people live in. And it needs to be as much as possible treated in a homely manner, where you are maximizing the independence of each person and maximizing the rights that we all have as human beings.
Now, of course, folks who are in nursing homes and assisted living facilities, as you pointed out, they do have, physical and sometimes mental needs, and sometimes they can be confused. Maybe they're not quite yet in the dementia stage, but they could be getting there, and they may be difficult to manage. Can such a home restrain its residents?
Restraints should only be used in extreme situations. Unless it is an emergency, needs a physician to be signing off on it. The resident needs to be checked on a regular basis. More and more nursing homes, to their credit, are going restraint-free. And that's a movement that really needs to continue, because restraints, although in theory they're designed to prevent injuries, they actually can cause injuries either by asphyxiation. Residents can get strangled in them. Residents can get trapped. It leads to all sorts of negative consequences. Nothing good comes from restraining a resident unless we are talking about a short-term emergency.
And, of course, you've been talking about physical restraints, but there are also chemical restraints, basically medication, drugging. People. What are the rules about chemical restraints?
Chemical restraints are really, legally, it's the exact same thing. Whether you're restraining somebody with a strap or you're restraining them by giving them a high dose of a sedative, it's a restraint. Now, it's a little bit harder to measure because one can state a medical reason for giving a patient a sedative, but a facility is not supposed to be using medications like sedatives as a restraint unless they've gone through all the steps to show that that is the least restrictive means to take care of the resident.
Now, are these homes, nursing homes and assisted living facilities, is the facility itself responsible for a crime or some type of negligence that's been committed against the residents or patients?
Well, let's break it down. Negligence, they absolutely are. It's a simple principle under Virginia law, and the law in most states, that is, an employer is responsible for the errors of their employees. If it is a crime, the facility is probably also going to be responsible for the criminal act of their employees. Now, the facility may not be responsible for a criminal act of a non-employee. So if it is another resident, or if it is a guest of a resident that comes in and commits a crime, and unfortunately that happens, the facility is not necessarily going to be legally responsible for what we call third parties, non-employees do.
So what type of, first of all, negligence do you find that employees of these homes are responsible for? What types of things do you see?
Well, and I think we ought to start with the point that nursing home employees have a very tough job to do. And their job is made tougher by the fact that nursing homes are often understaffed. And so an employee can only do so much within a given day. Now, the problems that come out of this understaffing is that the staff doesn't have the time to provide all the good care a resident needs. And so the things that we find are a lot of pressure ulcers. Pressure ulcers are prevented by providing pressure relief, like turning and repositioning a resident. We find that that happens very frequently, and unfortunately, those can be deadly mistakes. What we find are residents falling because they press the call bell because they need to get up and go to the bathroom, and the staff members are too busy, and they don't get there till 10 minutes later, and by that time, the resident has gotten out of bed and fallen. And when the elderly fall, it often results in a hip fracture, and unfortunately, that can actually be a fatal injury. We see medication errors as well. There's really a whole host of things that unfortunately shouldn't happen that are happening in nursing homes in Virginia.
And then let's turn to the crimes that can be committed against nursing home or adult home residents. What type of things do you see there?
Well, it's not pleasant to talk about, but there have been more than enough cases of residents being raped and sexually assaulted. There's been plenty of examples of neglect that has hit the level that it really is a crime, and that we're talking about residents that aren't fed, that become severely malnourished, develop pressure ulcers. One of the first cases I got involved with involved a resident that the pictures that were shown to me reminded me of photos that I saw of people in concentration camps, that they were just so malnourished with pressure ulcers all over his body. Just absolutely heartbreaking. And when the neglect reaches that level, it actually can be a crime under Virginia law.
So how can a resident or a family member file a complaint against a Virginia nursing home?
Well, it's very simple. You go online and go to the Virginia Department of Health's website. And from their website, you can do one of a multitude of things. You can send them an email directly from the website. It can be anonymous. Or you can also list who you are and what family member you're calling about, contacting them about. You can send them a fax, or you can pick up the phone and call them. And all that information is on the Virginia Department of Health's website under the complaint unit.
And do you find these complaints are investigated promptly and thoroughly?
Many times, yes. There have been cases that I thought they could have done a better job with, but I do believe that the Virginia Department of Health is well-intentioned. And if they believe a resident is at risk, they will go out and investigate and demand that a facility institute what's called a plan of correction to prevent it from happening again, if it proves to be part of a pattern that repeatedly the same nursing home is getting cited, it gets reported up to the federal level, and the federal government can deny the nursing home Medicaid and Medicare funding, which practically means the facility will be shut down if they cannot obtain Medicare and Medicaid funding.
Can someone file a lawsuit on behalf of a family member who was injured at an adult home or a nursing home?
Yes, a lawsuit can be filed. It has to be filed within Virginia's statute of limitations, which is 2 years from the date of injury. And they're complex matters, so I always encourage people to contact a lawyer early so the lawyer has time to thoroughly investigate the case. And if it proves to be that the nursing home or assisted living facility was negligent and that negligence caused a severe injury, then monetary damages can be obtained to try and help the family member, or if unfortunately the family member has passed away, then it would go on to the loved ones.
Now, is there a cap or a limit on damages that can be collected in Virginia in these type of situations?
Assisted living facilities are not subject to any type of cap. Nursing homes are subjected to Virginia's medical malpractice cap, which goes up by $50,000 a year until it eventually will reach $3 million. It's around $2.1 million right now.
So that's kind of an irony that the nursing homes that have to provide essentially a higher standard of care than the assisted living facility, they have a cap on damages, but the assisted living facilities don't?
It really is ironic that it's worked out that way, and I won't try and argue that it is logical. I don't think any caps are logical. I think we ought to trust juries to determine what is fair compensation without any limit to it. However, nursing homes are considered healthcare providers. So just like doctors who are protected by a medical malpractice cap that's been the case for over 30 years in Virginia, nursing homes do get that benefit, but fortunately the cap has been rising and it will continue to rise. So a family member or a nursing home resident can obtain a meaningful recovery in Virginia.
So to obtain a meaningful recovery, obviously one would need to have an attorney. What questions are important to ask when selecting an attorney to represent one's loved one who has been abused or neglected at a facility like this?
Most important thing, and it probably goes with hiring any professional, is experience. You need to ask the question of how long have you been litigating cases against nursing homes? How many cases have you litigated against nursing homes? What are your results? Are you going to handle my case, or are you going to accept the case and refer it out to another lawyer? That happens frequently. Nursing homes are unique, and the documentation is unique. Litigating them is unique, so you don't want to go to a lawyer who just does traffic accident cases. They may be very good at those cases. You want a lawyer who has litigated against nursing homes and who will take the case from start to finish.
And finally, where can people learn more about nursing home abuse and neglect?
Well, you can learn more about it by looking at my website. I've got multiple pages devoted to nursing home abuse and neglect, and that's joshsilvermanlaw.com. If you go to the Virginia Department of Health website, you can access nursing home regulations. Medicare's website also provides information regarding care in nursing homes. There's also a nonprofit organization that I encourage people to check out their website. It's called the Consumer Voice, and I believe it's consumervoice.org. And they are devoted to advocating for the rights of nursing home residents. And they're very good at what they do, and we're very fortunate that they're out there doing what they can do to help nursing home residents.
Well, thank you very much. We have been talking with Josh Silverman. He is an attorney who specializes in the rights of nursing home patients and assisted living facility residents, making sure that their caregivers are held responsible for their care. And his law office is located on Floyd Avenue, just a block north of Carytown. Thank you so much for being on the show, Josh.
It has been a pleasure. Thank you.
Turn me around. Turn me around.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. If you have any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. In addition, every first-run Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio show ever broadcast is available at www.radioforall.net. That's radio, the numeral 4, all.net. Then click the contributor link, then click Marty Wegbright, Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. Landlords must provide fit and habitable premises with access to utilities, but what does that mean in practice? Join us next Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. when Legal Aid Justice Center attorney Brenda Castaneda talks about utilities in public and private housing and how to handle common disputes such as billing, repairs, or shutoffs. That's law for the rest of us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegbright.